And we're back with the Toddcast after a small hiatus. I'm John. You may remember me.
Devin, this is my debut.
Boom.
Aside from being off on the side chuckling at things John and Brian would say.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a new deal for you. This is your first one.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's my very first podcast ever.
Ever?
Ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, welcome to the club.
Thank you.
So, some stuff that has happened since the last one. The biggest thing probably being Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the company did well. Stores were busy. Things were good. The weather was weird because it was really warm. So, I think that a lot of people went out Thursday night because it was so warm versus actually on Friday. But all the stores still did really well. Really happy with everything. Everybody did well. Proud of everybody. It was kind of nuts.
Yeah, we made it through with little to no casualties.
Right. So. I was over at the new store in Ohio, and it was weird because they did more money than Elwood, but less money than Cranberry, which is exactly where I thought they would do. It was pretty steady like the whole day. Like it wasn't crazy, but it's definitely steady. I went out and I went out on Thanksgiving and I like sat in front of the store because a lot of our stores we just don't have the staff to be open like that.
Yeah,
you know. And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna justify this to myself. I'm gonna go and sit here and see that there's no one here or whatever. I was wrong. I counted and in 10 minutes, over 300 people walked by the front of the store.
Wow.
Yeah, it was nuts. So. Things to think about, depending on how things roll out next year. But there were a lot of hiccups, too, with that, too. Like, the mall stores specifically, like, the malls themselves didn't give us actual mall hours till like, last minute.
Yeah.
So, it was
very hard. Very difficult.
Yeah, and we're like, we need to make a sale and a plan, and I need you to tell me what you're doing. And they just kind of went, I don't know. And but it wasn't just one mall, either. It was, like, all of them. So, it's very... very bizarre, but it worked out. Everybody had fun. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah, we were hopping. It was good, steady business. A lot of, you know, on a day like that, you get a lot of your non-typical customers.
Yeah.
People coming in asking for help.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Oh, my son likes this or my daughter likes that.
Yep.
But we got it all taken care of, and we even had a nice, just relaxing kind of afternoon.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's usually what it is. It's like busy to like. From open for like the first like 3 or 4 hours, and then it kind of lulls, and then it picks up around like 9 or 10 in the morning, and then it kind of lulls a little bit in like the afternoon, and then it picks up again like in the last like 2 hours.
Oh yeah, we saw a lot more traffic.
Yeah,
just people wrapped up having dinner and whatnot.
Yep. So it was weird, and I think because of the weather, a lot more people traveled this year, and that may have been part of it, like part of like the weirdness.
Crazy warm,
but like everywhere, like all reports from everyone that I've talked to said it was like the weirdest Black Friday they've ever seen. So not a bad weird, but just weird, you know. So the other thing that has happened since then is, and the reason why we haven't done one of these in a long time, is because I've been trapped in Ohio opening a store.
Yes, we thought you got lost there for a while.
Yeah, I started to feel like I was going to start speaking like Boomhauer. So, actually, like one of the guys that we hired out there, his name's Elijah. Like, he has that, like, southern accent, right?
Okay.
He's 19. He's kind of a young dude. And he gets, like, real worked up. When he gets real worked up, he totally sounds like Boomhauer. And I was like, dude, less Boomhauer, more Blake Shelton. And he's like, what? I was like, when you talk that fast, I can't understand what you're saying, dude. Like, you're just, like, jumbling your words, and I can't understand it. I was like, but Blake Shelton's like, hey there, baby. Very Elvis-y. And he's just like... oh, I get it. And, yeah, I'll slow it down. I was like, thanks, dude. But he's a great dude. The staff out there is great. They're a really good time. The store's huge. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah, it looks good. I saw a few pictures.
Yeah.
I got a couple pictures texted to me of things, and it looks like it's coming together nicely. And yeah. I remember you were saying when we were talking on the phone one time that people were just generally very excited, like coming in and looking while you guys are setting stuff up.
And it's weird because, like, being out there, we've seen more and more people come in daily looking for, like, new wall books and trades and some toys. We have, like, about five or six Magic guys that have started to come in to just, like, at least once a week and play for a couple hours. It's really starting to take shape. They will, for those of you who listen, who are in that area and want to start subscribing out there, if you start subscribing now, you will get the books that start to come out in January weekly, or maybe the last week of December.
But as the guy here at the Mills that is basically in charge of the strip, I can tell you the stuff we sent out to you, there's some good stuff out there still.
Back issues have been going great. Silver Age, a lot of good stuff out there. It's like people were just hungry for it. And there's a couple other shops in the area. And, I haven't seen them yet. Like, I haven't gone to visit them yet. But, there's room for everybody. So it's not like we're out there trying to crush a market.
Yeah, no, of course not.
And there's even another place in the mall that does F&M.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, so we're going to try to not do the same style event they do each week. So it works out. But it's going to be a good time. It's basically, if you've been to our Mills location, imagine like this divider wall not being there, and that's basically
just
the size of the room.
One huge room.
Yep, it's a big room. It's a lot like C3, except like C3 has those divided walls almost where the new wall is, because it kind of splits the room into three. If those weren't there, that would be it. Like, it's nuts. And we had a couple hiccups trying to get some stuff set up, but it all worked out, and it's pretty much right now it's just a matter of finishing some signage and training the staff the rest of the way. And
when is the grand opening?
The grand opening, the opening in which that is grand, is Saturday, January 16th.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. We have some sales going on for that. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, so people in Ohio, get ready. January 16th, grand opening.
I can tell you there will be cake.
Oh, cake is always good.
Always, always good to have cake.
And it's free cake, I'm assuming.
Free cake,
not like we have cake,
we're not gonna
$50
like,
a slice. And
we're not going to charge you for cake. Who charges for cake?
We don't charge for
cake. I don't charge for cake. Walmart charges for cake, but that's because they make it there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We don't make the cake. I guarantee you we don't make the cake.
We do not make the cake. I would have a very hard time making cake.
Yes. I was just talking with the salad lady about baking
cake
versus cooking.
Oh, fair enough.
And how I just love to cook, and I'm actually not
but
bad
you hate
at
to
it,
bake?
But I can't bake.
All right. Here we go. So we're going to give away free stuff every hour. Like something cool. We're going to have raffles every single hour for some free
stuff.
Maybe
some squirrel riding the toad play mats?
Maybe.
Those have been very popular around here.
Maybe. You can get 10% off toys, games, graphic novels, and statues all day, 20% off all Silver Age, 50% off all the dollar books. There's going to be a Yu-Gi-Oh! Constructed tournament starting at noon, and that's pretty much it. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Sounds like a good time.
Right? Let's see. What else? Oh, so Saturday, coming up though, this Saturday, tomorrow, is our giant, massive dollar book premiere in Elwood. We have over 500,000 new comics to throw out on the dollar floor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dollar comics.
That's a lot of dollar comics. These have never been picked through by any other store, no nothing, just brand new out on the floor. But beware, because it is light up night and light up weekend in Elwood. So Lawrence, at section of Lawrence Avenue, is going to be closed. However, you still can park in the back at the lot behind the store. And you can get a sleigh ride from Santa in the park next door. Well,
cool.
carriage ride, not sleigh ride.
Yeah. Go
still cool, right?
Get some great deals on some new dollar books. Take it light up night.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Come on, man. I'll hang out with Santa. Okay. Then December 12th, we have a Magic the Gathering Grand Prix trial for Detroit at Butler. I'll be there to hang out with Judge Dan. The 13th of December, it's a Sunday, we have the Pokemon City Championships here in, at the Mills. The 16th is the grand opening for Ohio. And then the 30th of January, we have another Grand Prix Detroit trial here at the Mills.
So no rest for the wicked.
No rest for the wicked. So
just when you thought January was going to be boring, everybody's Christmased out, and we're just going to keep coming at you with great events.
Right. Let's see. All right. That's pretty much all I got for events. Let's talk some comics.
Okay. You want to?
I will start.
Yeah. Lead us off all here. Right.
I'm going to start with my least favorite of my three. So Venom Space Knight number one by Robbie Thompson and Ariel Avaletti. So this came out of like the whole Guardians of the Galaxy and like Secret Wars crossover stuff. I really like the art in this book, but I thought the story was super boring.
Mm.
Like, it was very, very slow. It was mostly Flash Thompson talking to himself. The only thing I don't like about the art is that he kind of looks like Spawn.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? Like, his face especially looks a lot like Spawn.
Yeah, it's very Spawny.
And it's not super consistent in his body, even though it is a symbiote, and I understand that. But there's some cool stuff, like the robot that he saves. Oh, excuse me. Ends up being, like his almost like a sidekick at the end. So that was kind of cool. The backgrounds are awesome, though. Like, the background art is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it looks nice. I'm watching you page through it here.
Yeah, it's just, like I wanted it to be really cool because I really liked the last Venom run that I think Colin Bunn did. Or was it Rick Remender? It was one of the two, I think. And it was awesome. But this is just kind of meh.
Yeah, not doing it for you.
Nope.
Can't hit it out of the park every time.
Nope. So you can, what's your first book?
As this being my first podcast and first time doing it here, I kind of playing it safe. I'm doing two, the first book I've already read, and it's Hellboy and the BPRD 1953 by Mike Mignola and the art, Ben Stenbeck, kind of a standard there. If you're familiar with the Hellboy at all, this is going to be a pretty familiar book for you here. It's two small stories.
Yay.
The first being based in actual mythology and legend and folklore, which Mignola does get into a lot. I really appreciate the research he does. And
I do too. And he always does some crazy stuff.
Yeah. And I'll go and I'll Google, you know, the person or whatever they're talking about and find out more. Some of the stuff I know and some of the stuff that, you know, I've actually learned about folklore. But what I really like about the book, aside from the standard fare, is what I like about the BPRD 1953 and 1952 that Hellboy did is you get Professor Broom. I love Professor Broom.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, and he's in here, and it's also it's a neat look at Hellboy because this is Hellboy in his very first cases. So we're kind of looking at teenage Hellboy out working with his dad, and the first of the two stories deals with an ancient witch who is haunting a town, and it goes back to Roman times, and the legends go that there was a Celtic queen who was fighting the Romans, and then she was mortally wounded in a battle and went to see a witch to make a deal to drive the Romans out of her lands. The Romans then eventually caught and hung the witch, and now she's back and brings a whole army of Roman skeletons.
The witch is back.
With her. The best part about this one for me, Professor Broom saves the day in Latin.
What?
Basically, they're being attacked, as you can see, John. Uh-huh. They're being attacked. Really nice artwork. As usual, very typical Stenbeck style. And Broom basically tells the Roman soldiers, hey, it's that witch over there who killed you in the first place, and they all attack her.
And nice.
He saves the day. The second is much shorter story called Rawhead and Bloody Bones, and the professor and Hellboy are helping a older couple who have a haunted pub.
Oh.
And Professor Broom's kind of stumped on this one. And, it's a more of a local folklore kind of thing. I don't know if there's actually figures out there for Rawhead and Bloody Bones. Is that? Yeah, Rawhead and Bloody Bones. Mm-hmm. But Hellboy's suggestion is just to burn the sign. And it actually works. The bad guys catch fire and they go away.
Right.
And, you know, kind of in typical fashion, lots of great visuals and very short, terse Hellboy.
Right.
Who always is Ron Perlman in my head.
Oh, like, yeah.
Just never goes away.
At least his voice.
Yeah.
His voice. Because you can't. Like, that was, like, the best part. Like, he just nailed that.
Exactly. I
actually liked the movies. I thought they were good.
I did, too. I appreciated how the first one, you know, being a fan of the book before the movie came out, was how they drew from so many of the different books and kind of weaved little bits together from the books on top of this superimposed story.
Right. Because it basically followed, like, what, Seed of Destruction?
Seed of Destruction. I forget what the
It was like title. The first two or three books.
Yeah.
And, like, weaved together.
And the guy, at the very end, the skeleton he's carrying around on his back has his own little one or two part mini.
Yeah.
So, Hellboy and the BPRD, continuing adventures.
Nice. All right, my second book, which I was not super excited, I was super excited to read it, but it was super boring.
Oh.
Slightly less boring than Venom Space Knight. Dark Knight 3, Master Race, number one. So, Brian Miller, Frank Miller, Brian Azzarello, Kubert Jansen, and Anderson are the main creative team on this. So, it's... Most of this is, like, two people texting each other while, like, stuff's going down in Gotham. And, like, this whole second page, there's, like, an homage to old Frank Miller stuff. Because it's, like, totally, like, the Daredevil foot, like, where he's running. And it's, like, it's almost like how Daredevil looked when he was running, when Miller did him. So, it was okay. It just really... didn't make any sense. It was like, okay, stuff's going on. Then it's like Wonder Woman beats up a Minotaur, breastfeeds a baby, hangs out in the Amazon. And then, like, you know, like, just like just weird stuff. Like, Superman's just frozen sitting in a chair. It's like he was just like, oh, I'm going to go to sleep. And then he just never woke up. Maybe he died. I don't know. He's been sitting in this chair.
And when you build your fortress of solitude and
right.
it's really, really cold, that is a demon.
Hey, man. If you're in a fortress of solitude and you have a heart attack, no one's around to call 911.
Or if you choke on your TV dinner.
That, too. I mean, who says that he can't die that way?
That's my wife's greatest fear when I go out of town with the boys. If we all leave, she's like, I'm going to choke to death by myself. She always has dinner with a friend then. So.
Right. So then Batman shows up and starts beating on people, and they're like, and Batman starts screaming, like, where is he? Where is he? And the commissioner at the end finally is like, what's going on? And he's like, and the commissioner's like, where is Bruce Wayne? And like Batman, who had been beaten up, they pull the mask off, and it's actually Carrie Kelly. In Batman garb and says Bruce Wayne is dead, and that's how the end of the first issue went. So it's so like everything until the last three pages was super boring and not necessary. I hope it's like cool back plot stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, okay,
because it's been big in anticipation around this.
Yeah,
you know, it's the third in the DK series.
Yeah,
love the first. Not
they announced the four.
So good on the fourth, huh?
There's a four coming.
Wow,
so I was super pumped for this. Now I'm like, meh. But I'll probably give it at least one more issue. I'm a big Azzarello fan, and I'm a big Frank Miller fan. So, and Kubert and Jansen. So, like, I'm like, you put four people that I really like together. How is this not good?
Yeah.
But it might just be the first issue setting up, being slower.
Taking a little bit of time for the exposition.
Building that up. So, and it's only, I believe, an eight-part series. So, eight or ten. It's one of the two. But I kind of want to get the deluxe ones because they come in like the sweet hardback, and they're like thick prestige size. And then when you get the last one, it comes with the slipcase, and you just put them all in there. And it's got cool Jim Lee art all the way around it. It's really nice. I checked it out at the Diamond Summit. So
cool. Did you read the Atom insert at all?
I didn't yet. Yeah. I was going to. I just was like, meh, I'm going to read the main story.
Yeah.
Oh. Could right. have been better.
So moving on, I'm going to talk a bit about Alan Moore's one of his new projects. Now, full disclosure, Alan Moore could write a grocery list, and I would probably buy it. He is one of my favorite authors, which isn't to say that I don't recognize his stuff can be uneven. I've read some Alan Moore stuff where I'm like, eh, I think maybe that's just phone this one in.
It's an understatement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely is one of those...
when he's on, he's on.
Yeah.
When he's off.
That, yeah, we'll say it like that. Yeah. He's almost like the Hunter S. Thompson of comic books.
Yeah, you know? That's a good way to put it.
Totally a gonzo.
Well, this one's a double whammy for me. This is his series called Providence. It's Alan Moore and Jason Burroughs from Avatar, which I've been enjoying more and more, I find,
really?
Avatar's stuff. It is a walks that mature line. Most of Avatar's stuff does.
I like their Dark God series. That was pretty good.
I enjoyed that, too. Mm. Yeah. So this is a double whammy, as I said, because it's Alan Moore meets H.P. Lovecraft.
What?
And Moore talked a little bit about his idea behind this is to look at basically Lovecraft before he became Lovecraft. It's set in Providence. Fans of Lovecraft will see bits and pieces throughout everything.
Hmm.
It's on its sixth issue right now, and I've been following it since it came out. It's been a little slow, but it's been neat. As I said, the idea is the main character, Robert Black, is a journalist who has decided to do research after hearing about some novels that had been banned because they caused people to go insane. And he obviously traces, does some digs around and finds this is the Lovecraftian creation, Khalid Ibn Yazid. I read that because it's hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. I would have been like, what?
Yeah, the mad Arab prophet who wrote the Book of the Stars or something like that.
Fair enough.
And so he quits his job in Boston as a newspaper reporter and heads up to Providence and begins interviewing people. There are secret societies. There's the college up there, Miskatonic University. And in this particular issue, things begin to pick up. The weirdness really kind of begins to kick in because the main character, Robert Black, finally gets his hands on the book. The Wisdom of the Stars is the title of the book that he came to see. It's a rare book. And weird things begin to happen to him. Some strange things are beginning to happen already. But he runs in to a young woman he'd met before, her name being Elspeth Wade, who we learn in this issue is the daughter of one of the founders of the secret society that had this Book of the Mad Arab translated into English.
Oh, yay.
We,
I bet this is going to get good.
Yeah, it certainly takes a turn. She's a younger woman, a young teenage woman, who apparently is possessed by some kind of entity from beyond, and then uses her powers to switch bodies with our protagonist, Robert Black, and then they proceed to do some ritual sexual magic.
Ooh.
The while he's in her body, not knowing what's going on, the evil entity takes over his body, and we then get a little bit of, evil entity, la ha ha, you're so dumb, I can tell you everything. And so we learn that this has been going on for some time, and it kind of ties in nicely with some of the earlier things that he's found out about the families that were involved in this secret society. There's some inbreeding, and if you're a fan of Lovecraft, you'll recognize that some of the people are the descendants of the fish people. I forget their actual name, but Burroughs does a really nice job of kind of blending fish-like elements to the human, like the jawbone, just a little too wide and a little too square. Not quite like Abe, no, but one of the more interesting things about the book, because it's about 20 pages, single, those are, so double-sided, 40 pages, no ads.
That's awesome.
Half the book is the traditional comic. Oh, and I forgot to mention the best part. He resolves to leave town after all the weirdness, mm-hmm. and he's running, literally grabs his suitcase in a storm, running out of town, only to see himself being driven into town, which was 2 weeks prior to him.
Oh.
And we are left with him kind of staring in disbelief as he and the guy he got a ride from
It's almost like that,
drive into town.
That intro scene in Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, yeah.
Where they see them leaving like 5 seasons later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of that. But one of the thing I wanted to mention, and this has been standard since the beginning, the first half is a traditional comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half is what they call a commonplace book, a book for writers to jot down ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story continues. It's often a recap of the events that have gone on in the comic. Sometimes we get a little bit more insight into what Black is thinking about the events. Sometimes they're just like little jots for story ideas. And again, you'll recognize it if you're a fan of Lovecraft. Mm-hmm. You'll see the seeds of what become some of his famous stories. It's beautiful. The artwork is very nice. It's very clean. And the book itself is very nice quality. It's heavyweight. And one of my favorite parts is on the inside and outside of the covers.
Oh,
is the map of Providence. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So overall, it's a series I've been enjoying. It is Alan Moore. I think he's going dark. Whether or not,
imagine that.
Yeah,
and what's Alan Moore go dark?
Yeah, yeah. I reread The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Last week, I forgot what a dark turn that takes. I mean,
yeah,
really dark.
Yeah, it gets really, really crazy. All right, so my last book is Wonder Woman 46 by Meredith and David Finch. So, up to this point, you know, Diana's been the God of War. Donna's been turned to clay. She's fought basically the entire pantheon. So at this point, Eerie shows up, who's the Goddess of Peace. And her and Wonder Woman have this giant discussion as to why she's a terrible God of War and not a Goddess of Peace. And why she has to make war for peace to exist, and they have to keep each other in check, because if you don't have war, people just don't need to fight for anything, and the strongest will just like come about. And she starts showing her like alternate realities, and it was like, this is like the single most political issue of this I've ever read,
yeah.
And I loved every minute of it, because it's kind of true. Like, she shows like people in like sweatshops, and she's like, "What do you see?" She's like, "I see people who are suffering under the weight of oppression and the threat of violence, and who desperately need someone to help them." And she's like, "You really are the epitome of arrogance, aren't you? Because what I see are people without hope, people who have got lost the ability to stand up for themselves." And it's kind of like, you could totally see that side,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's like a whole thing where it's sort of like Nazi-esque. And this is like where, you know, she's like, "In a world without war, the strong will simply just take the earth. Violence and aggression are not exclusive to war. They still exist, but violence becomes violence for its own sake. Without the unifying force of war, people do not have the strength or will to save themselves." And I just was like, wow. Like, I was not expecting this is like the deepest Wonder Woman issue I've ever read. And then so through the whole time, like, Wonder Woman's holding baby Zeke, who's actually Zeus reincarnated into its small child, into his own child, which is even weirder. And at the end, like, Wonder Woman and Eerie fight, and Zeus is like, or Zeke's like crawling around, and he crawls to Diana, or Donna, who's in, you know, turned to clay, laying on the ground, and he touches her, and Hera. What's her other name? Hera and the baby's mom, who I can't think of right now, show up. And in the middle of the fight, like, Zeke touches Donna. And then all of a sudden, Ares returns, Fate returns. But Donna now becomes the embodiment of Fate. So Donna Troy is now actually Fate instead of Donna Troy. but Ares is back, so Diana is no longer the goddess of war. And it's like all kinds of crazy. So they've kind of retconned some things, mm-hmm. but not all of it, and it all in this beautiful political package.
Yeah, that sounds heavy. That sounds, it was like something of substance.
I loved it, and I was like not expecting it. I was like, whoa. Like I'm reading it, and I'm just like, what am Meredith Finch? Okay. What am I reading? Like, this is awesome.
It's nice to see authors stretch themselves.
Yeah, it was cool. It was nice to not just have like your regular superhero moment, but it was interesting to see how deep that got and how true a lot of that.
Metaphysical, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, because you can't really ever prove that train of thought ever, but it's definitely it's definitely in the wheelhouse of thought processes.
Yeah, and an age-old debate that's been going around.
Yeah.
Okay, so for my final book, I did it. I grabbed something right off the shelf, just caught my eye. Never read it before, never heard of it before.
Ooh, Amigo Press.
It's called Rogues by Amigo Press, El Torres, Nacho Tenorio, and Sergio Mora. And my apologies if you're listening, gentlemen, and I've butchered your names. So my first impulse on this is if you play D&D Pathfinders, I think you'll it's got that world to it. It's a fantasy world.
Cool.
We're not doing the cape and tight set here,
right?
It kind of picks up in the middle of some action here. The two main characters are rogues.
Imagine
as
that.
The book would say. The weasel is this female, and she has a friend who's a barbarian called Bram, and he's just this big guy.
Nice.
And apparently a baby is involved. There's a baby. Babies. With royal heirs, aristocracy, conspiracies, assassins, golems, vampires. Mm-hmm. And apparently in the last issue, they just said, this baby's too much trouble. We don't want to get involved with this stuff. We're just low-life rogues. This is the aspirations of the rich and powerful. And then in a really kind of nice turnabout that you kind of see coming, but still it's nice.
Right.
They're talking about, oh, it's a good thing we left the baby behind. Yeah, I hated that baby. Oh, we shouldn't bother. You know, we're doing the right thing. And then they're like, in the next panel, she's like, she says, we're lucky enough to have escaped with our lives. And the barbarian then says, I'll be ready in a heartbeat. Good, take your best weapons. And so somehow, complaining about the baby, they decide to go save the baby. And the very next thing we see, apparently, the bad guy who took the baby trying to get the vampires he summoned.
I was going to say, it looks like a bunch of Vampirellas.
Yeah, it does. They are. Yeah. Oh, right down to the costume.
I was like, they literally look like Vampirellas.
Yeah, I guess I didn't give too much of an eye to the art in this one because I was trying to read it before the cast, but it's good, nice stuff. But they turn out not to want to eat the baby.
Oh.
They want a different sacrifice because the baby's too cute.
Oh, fair enough.
He said, but aren't you vampires? Yeah, but we aren't all heartless bastards. So he has to go get primordial blood. Apparently this baby has primordial blood in it.
Oh, okay.
So this bad guy who is working for the evil queen, who is naked, chained to a lot of naked men, who apparently are her sex slaves. Apparently there's a lot of nakedness in this world. Like, it's a thing. Kind of got a sense it was part of their religion. Like, when they went to do services or rituals or big events, they all have to be skyclad, as the term may be.
Fair.
But nothing too graphic, nothing too, over the top there. So the evil queen wants the baby killed. Got your Narnia thing happening in there. Mm-hmm. And they go around looking for soothsayers who can help tell them about this magician.
Right.
And it's a little bit of comedy in here, a little bit of fun. They're going all over, and you see the barbarian roughing people up, except for the demon woman who he's making out with to get information. There's a wizard who apparently is a monkey and then turns into like a squid thing and then a chicken thing.
So he's Beast Boy?
He's Beast Boy, but it's a little fun. You know, it lightens up. It's not all, we're going to save the world.
Right.
But the best part of this book, and that's what I was laughing out loud.
Yeah.
I don't laugh out loud when I read. John was in the other room and he like turned and looked definitely like, and I'm all by myself.
What the hell is going on in there?
So apparently in this world, there is magic, of course. and there's true magic, and then there's a new magique? Lesser form of magic.
That
magique?
Is
magique.
Magique.
No, it is magique. Apparently, we get the backstory on this. A magician one day discovered a method of gathering and capturing magic in sheets of paper. And the cards, okay. It's magic.
Oh,
it is the
game?
Card game. It is the game.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. cards that allow non-scholars to summon creatures and arcane energies with little training. Cards that are utterly expensive. Cards that are an irresponsible way of skipping years of college. It was an immediate success, and the owner then moved to the West Coast to live a high life.
And that so is awesomely
it
funny.
It is. I was. That's what I was laughing
that
so
is
hard
hilarious.
About. And then, so they have to go buy these cards, and they are waiting. Apparently, this is where the bad guy is going to meet them. And from the fabled land of the West Coast, we come with the most fabulous and legendary cards, says the peddler. And then all hell breaks loose as people are clamoring and wanting cards. Very not unlike some pre-releases I have
Right.
And then so they have to duel. And all the card players are amazed that there's a woman there.
Oh.
And so she has to duel magic with him, and they wind up actually, and there's a great thing where he flips over a goblin and then plays an enhancer and another enhancer and another enhancer, and his goblin grows to be huge and then gets this spike club when he plays another card,
right.
And Brom the Barbarian then, that's his cue to go in, and she summons him with a playing card, like a regular card. And so he goes in and he's fighting the goblin that's been all amped up, and he's having a great time. In fact, he says, she's like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I'm having the time of my life. This is so much fun." And then she then attacks the evil magician who kidnapped the baby, and by playing a boot on your face card, which while he's distracted and looking at the card that she just drew, by the way, it's a little
pencil man. I see that.
She kicks him in the face.
Well, and that's one way to take your opponent down.
It's not that Wonder Woman.
Right.
It is not, but I found myself really enjoying this. Like this one panel towards the end where all the boys who have gathered to buy cards and play cards are standing there looking in horror, and the barbarian says to them, I was supposed to threaten you so you wouldn't interfere, but ... And the kids are like, "You don't have to do anything. Oh, I want to go home." And turns out, interesting twist though, turns out that the mage that gave them the information about where to find the bad guy and kind of asked them to put a beat down on the bad guy was the bad guy's dad.
What?
Yeah, his dad was a proper wizard, didn't bother with the cards, used real magic.
Oh.
And so he was trying to teach his son a lesson.
So he's a planeswalker.
Yeah, pretty much. But they so they get the card of primordial blood that they give to the vampires, who are very sad to see the baby go.
Okay.
Like they're crying. It's one of the vampires is very sad to see the baby go. And it wraps up with them having retrieved the baby and now surrounded by the forces of the evil queen.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I like I said, never saw this, but I've never read anything by Amigo, but it was fun.
That's
I really
awesome.
Enjoyed it. And then it's got a little
chaser in the back.
Like yeah. It tells you what's coming up next here, but it's got a completely different story. I don't know if they're related at all.
Oh,
It's just a little like 3-pager thing where there's a big Amazonian woman and two guys who apparently trick her into doing all the work to get money and an invitation for something.
Like, oh,
I don't know what. But they spend the money on dice, drinking, and then women.
Nice.
So
as you do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she does all the work and they spend all the money.
Right.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
It didn't seem like it was connected to the main story, but it was fun.
It might be. This also is number 3, so the other two parts may have
put that. And this is the fourth volume of this, though. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, though, because like, if you've read Lock and Key by Joe Hill.
Not read. I've perused it.
I've read like the first volume first two volumes. And then, like, when it was ending, I was like, oh, I'm going to check these last ones out. And I can't remember if it was the Alpha or Omega issue, but in one of them, they're actually playing a game of Magic in the game. Like full on, like, I'm going to tap this mountain and do this thing. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Did I just read that?
And I mean, this is full of so many references.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know.
That's hilarious. I'm going to check that out.
It was very fun.
All right. So,
talked about Ohio and
further cool new releases. Check out www.ndcomics.com. Let's hit the new release tab. Boom. Everything shows up every week. As soon as on Monday morning it uploads for the stuff coming out on Wednesday. So you can check that out every time. You know, if you see something on there, call your local shop. One of us will be able to hook you up with it somehow. All right. So in these last couple weeks, there's also been some really cool, nerdy television going on. So first, we're going to talk about the Arrow Flash crossover that happened this week.
I sadly missed. Oh. Normally, I'm here,
dude,
during the evenings.
Dude. So I'm going to give you the nutshell. So, how caught up are you? Did you see the episode before it of each one?
No, okay. I have not seen this.
So I'm gonna try to do this as spoiler free as I can. So, Cisco is dating Hot Girl, like they've done a couple dates, and so they go on a date, and Vandal Savage shows up to try to kill her, and okay. He's like, Shiara, blah, 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 I'm going to kill you. And he starts throwing knives and whatever. And they're like, what the hell's going on? So they get out of there. And then he realizes that the Flash isn't fast enough to save her by himself to take on Vandal Savage. So they go, well, we know some people that can help. So they go to Star City and they bring in the Arrow team. So eventually they find out, like, through Merlin, who's now Ra's al Ghul, is like, this guy's immortal. His name's Vandal Savage. That's all I know about him, which if that's all we know about him as the League, that's scary.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He's been around for a really long time. So they basically, like, it's back and forth between the two shows. They're trying to save them. Hawkman shows up. Hawk Girl finally, like, you know, realizes she's Hawk Girl, sprouts her wings. And it's cool because, like, their wings actually just sprout out of them. Now, in this version, it's not like a pack. It's not like a contraption. It's actually they just metabolize out of their body. It's pretty crazy.
Metamorphosize?
That's the word. I was like, I don't know word I want to use for this, out the side of the backs. And they have like the cool armor they've been wearing for centuries, but they messed with Vandal Savage's background to make him more like Set's background. I don't know if you remember him. He's like, he was the one that when Hawkman and Hawkgirl died the first time, he was the one who killed them. So like all stuck in this weird regeneration cycle. Like they would always want to fight each other to death and blah, blah, blah. So they basically took his story and gave it to Vandal Savage. And the whole series just sets up the DC Legends of Tomorrow series, which I'm kind of excited for, mostly for Rip Hunter. but it was really good. Like, it was probably some of the best nerd TV I've seen in a while. So definitely check that out if you haven't. They're both on demand. They were last week's episodes. But the big, big one was Jessica Jones came out.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that day. Everyone, are you going to watch Jessica Jones? You watch Jessica Jones? I'm like, I've got
so I'm in Ohio, and people are like, oh, dude, did you watch Jessica Jones yet? I'm like, no, because when I go home, I go to bed, because then I come back here to Ohio. And it's a three-hour round trip. You do the math. And they're just like, oh, sorry, dude. Sorry, I won't talk about it. And then they proceed to talk about it. So all in all, I thought it was really good. I didn't like it as much as Daredevil. Because it wasn't as dark and brooding as Daredevil.
Yeah.
But I really, really like David Tennant as the Purple Man, even though they kind of messed up his backstory and changed it.
Yeah.
But he was so just oozing with evil. Like, I was just like, man, if he would have played the Master instead of the Doctor, this is what his Master would have been like.
I was having that exact same thought. Yeah.
I wasn't super impressed with Luke Cage, though. Like, I thought his character was kind of boring. And I wasn't super impressed with the girl who actually played Jessica Jones.
Like, it was a little stilted, I felt.
Yeah, she was just a little bit too dry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I loved the Hellcat, like Patsy Walker, or Trish Walker, as I like to call her. But I thought they did a really good job of weaving all of the Alias storylines into this, at least some of the Alias storylines, because like, it starts out the same with like a couple comes and is like, our daughter's missing, only instead of her like being stuck in a cult, like she's, you know, abducted by the Purple Man.
Yeah.
And then the homage to Persuasion, who's Purple Man's daughter, who ended up being on Alpha Flight. Like, there's an homage to that because she was the byproduct of Purple Man just raping someone. And even like when the homage to the actual Purple Man look in the one scene was like, oh my god, yeah, that was great.
You're throwing lots of little goodies in there, for folks.
It took me forever to figure out the one guy was Nuke. And I was like, why do I know that name? And why does this seem familiar?
You know.
And then I was like, you know where I figured it out? When he had his lighter out and it had the American flag on it. I was like, oh my god, he's Nuke. Oh, terrible 90s villains everywhere. Oh, this is great. This is so great. I was like, I knew they kept him around for something. I was like, why is he such a big character? And then I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, like overall, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think it, I enjoyed kind of, seeing this flip side. We all, I know most of us, we read these books when we were younger and partly out of a wish, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had powers, and you had that debate, oh, who's superpower? If you could only have one, whose would you have? Nightcrawler. Right. I would do Nightcrawler.
Ooh.
I can't flip around like him. I don't have the whole acrobat thing. But
The teleport thing would be really nice.
I can think of many times in my life I would like to have just disappeared on the spot.
Yeah, because like with Jessica, like she's super strong, but she's not invulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why her and Luke Cage make a good team, because he's a little stronger than normal, but his skin is impenetrable. Yeah. So,
and so they show that, everybody's got issues.
Yeah.
Even if you got a superpower and you think, that's great, but you know what? Superpower people are people too.
Yep. And even the people that hang out with the people with superpowers have issues, and sometimes they're even weirder.
Yeah.
Like all of Patsy Walker's mommy issues. I was like, wow, they're really digging that. Jeez,
Yes.
All in all, I thought the show was very well done.
And they generated a really good buzz for it.
Yeah.
Which, sadly, they didn't for Constantine. Talking about the crossovers.
Oh, I know, right? So but I'm he's going to be in season 2 of DC Legends.
Yeah, I have heard that he's not dead, but...
he appeared in Arrow a couple weeks ago, and it was pretty good.
The magical tattoo thing.
Yeah, and he did, bring cure Sarah of being completely bloodthirsty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I was really excited to see him come back, because I thought the Constantine show was really good.
And I thought the actor, they did a really good job.
Yeah.
He did a real good job capturing that kind of wry attitude. Like, he already knows what's in store, and it doesn't matter. He's just going to, do his thing.
Yep. So, but,
yeah.
Yeah, everybody's talking about how good David Tennant was. Like,
oh, well,
That's the biggest thing going around about it. And I agree. I think he was the best part of the show. And similar to Daredevil, I thought Kingpin was the best part of the show. So they're really pushing these villains to this completely new height. And I really think it's cool how they're doing that. And I like how they interweaved like all these other storylines and how they're building it in Hell's Kitchen, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawyer, like... what's her name? The lawyer who was... what's her name for The Matrix?
Oh, Carrie Ann Moss?
Yeah, the actress
is Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, yeah.
Trinity.
Trinity from Matrix, yeah. So her character in the comics also represents Danny Rand, who is Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. So that's how they're tying that in. Night Nurse is tying everybody together, apparently. From what they're saying, she's going to be in all 4 series.
Mm, interesting.
And she's going to be the key that actually ties everybody together. And already Luke Cage is tied in here.
Yeah. Because I've really been enjoying the crossovers, the way that they are, you know, taking these shows that all have interesting storylines of their own, but throwing them, you know, reminding viewers that this is a world that's all connected. And
yeah.
They take advantage of it. I mean.
Right. Or when they do the, like, oh, blah, blah, blah is happening, and then it's like, or like, oh, that's so weird to see somebody be able to do that. It's like, yeah, like, but aliens coming out of the sky, and then like, blah, blah, like this
big
war,
like
mentioning everything that happened in Avengers 1, and then a little bit of Avengers 2, and you know, and they name drop like Captain America, I think, a couple times. Again, Stan Lee's photo in a police department.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. What were the other? There were some other Easter eggs that I was just like, oh, that's so cool. Man, I can't remember what, there was another one that I was just like, oh man, that's awesome. I'm kind of glad they didn't do the whole, what was his name? Bruce Banner's sidekick?
Rick Jones.
Like yeah, that well, whole Rick Jones section.
Rick Jones, who is like the male slut of superheroes. He's with everybody.
I'm kind of glad they didn't do that whole, like, he's playing guitar in the park, like, section of the book. I would have been like,
But it's still not, so. You know, oh, I'm all angry. I'm going to drive out to a gamma bomb testing range and be angsty teenager.
Right. But I thought it was cool, like, how they played Jessica and Luke's relationship. They've already, like, made that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole scene where they figure out each other has powers and then they just, like, wreck that bed. I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But, like, I don't know. Like, they kind of made, they kind of took Purple Man and kind of pushed him way, way darker than he ever was. Because, like, he was never, like, super obsessed with her, like he was in the show. But he did use her to try to kill the Avengers in the books.
Yeah.
So it was a little weird to see it get that kind of creepy, but I thought it worked really well.
Yeah. And, I mean, Tennant is... great at that. For a lot of U.S. audiences only know him as the Doctor, and I mean
Broadchurch, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Even the American version of Broadchurch, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah,
but,
it wasn't bad.
Something Point, Grace Point?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think it was Grace Point.
Yeah, but he had like put on some weight for that, and he was also in that movie,
You're not talking about the remake of Fright Night.
No.
Because he was kind of brilliant.
He was pretty brilliant in that movie. Yeah. No, he was in... what the hell was it? I can't remember what the movie was. It was like a dark comedy. But he lost weight again. Like, he looks like he did when he was the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he even had the same hair and kind of dressed the same. And, like, I liked that he always wore purple. And I thought it was really, like, they nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it with him.
You know, so. It's nice. What I like, particularly with the spate of superhero TV shows now, the production standards are being raised. Because, you know, I love watching stuff from the BBC because their production values are so high. They're so top-notch.
Right.
You know, and in a lot of ways, I wish we would, you know, emulate that, crank out a good, you know, I'll take four really awesome 45-minute episodes.
Even
over
Canada.
Yeah. Like, even the CBC does a lot of great stuff.
Like, and I just watched the last season of Continuum. It's just like six episodes.
You know, I tried watching that on your recommendation, and I does it change? Because I was at first, I'm like, wait, I am rooting kind of for the super evil mega corporations of the future. What?
it gets real weird at like season two.
Because my Shadowrun player in me is like, no, no.
Yeah, that show just gets.
Well, I'll give it a little bit more of a shot.
It gets good. Like, the more you get into it, you're just like, what is going on here?
You know, I enjoyed the interactions of the cast, those little flashbacks and the whole idea. And this isn't a spoiler because you learned, like, in the very first episode.
Right.
Like, this super powerful man from the dystopic future is this nerdy little whiz kid in the barn that she hooks up with. And I think, you know, she's on her, like, frequency trying to contact her future police friends. And he's like, why are you on this frequency?
Yeah,
and she's like, why are you? He's like, I made it. It's mine.
There shouldn't be anyone else on this
frequency.
No
one else knows about it.
Right, right. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, but the way it plays out, it gets really, really good. Back to Jessica Jones.
The good production value.
Really
good.
I am back. So my one Easter egg for Jessica Jones that I thought was the absolute best was the jewel costume.
I must have missed that.
It was a flashback scene. They did it as a flashback where, like it's where she's it's toward the end of the season where she's trying, like, they're doing the flashbacks of her, like, going, okay, I guess I'm going to be a superhero. And, like, Patsy holds it up and she's like, you should totally wear this. And blah, blah, blah.
Oh!
And you should wear this. And it's the totally jewel cut. And she's like, no, you would have to call me, like, Captain Camel Toe or something. And I was just like, oh, my God, yes. That is great.
Oh, yes. 90s comics, how I love know. Thee.
It was so good. So good. So, yeah. But, I mean, like, show is good.
Yeah.
So, Nerd TV being awesome.
Yeah.
And,
I've been hearing,
like, Doctor Who has its finale coming up this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Last week's episode was excellent. Supergirl's been pretty good.
Like, I haven't watched Supergirl yet.
It's actually gotten to the point where I'm like, all right, this might not totally be awkward, but yeah. It's getting, every episode gets a little bit better. And like, now I think that they're starting to, I think they're going to show that Cyborg Superman is Cyborg Superman, or at least a cyborg.
Yeah.
Because like now they're kind of getting into like her parents, and like Dean Cain, who played her dad, is like working for the DOD. And they're kind of like playing that part out a little more, because I really don't like the whole government interaction part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where you kind of, it grows on you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like they're finding their footing too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find the show. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
For the, you know, everybody, cast, crew, director, actors, you know, to all click, begin to find that moment.
They did what I wanted them to do, and it's make Max Lord, and they are totally working Max Lord into becoming that like thorough badass genius douchebag that everybody loved him from Justice League International.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have the mind control powers, or at least we don't know that he has them yet.
Yeah.
But everything he's doing is, it's very like Lex Luthor calculating style, and I'm just like, oh man, you are so good. Like, and the guy playing him is just so, he's got him. Like, I just want Wonder Woman to show up and snap his neck. Like, and I'm just like, come on, just please let that be like some season 3 issue, like episode. Please, God, like, just like crack. Just, he's dead. You know? Like, that's what I want. And then I want Blackest Night to happen so we can come back and make you all mad in the cemetery.
I'll make a few calls.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, we're gonna do this. But, like, he's just so evil, and you can taste it watching him, and it's just like, because the first couple episodes he's like kind of in like the background, and then you're just like, what?
It's really nice to have that really, really bad guy,
right? And in the same right, the new trailer for Dark Knight, or not Dark Knight, Superman Batman.
I was gonna say, I've been hearing a lot of buzz. People been asking about that. You know, have you seen it?
Yeah, and like I watched it. And I don't really care for this. I'm not excited about this movie at all. I'm excited about Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, when I heard that,
yeah,
that kind of made me go, oh, because yeah. I'm not all that excited about this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just like,
I don't want to rehash the Ben Affleck thing, but you know,
yeah.
That's part of it. And
I do have a shirt that says No Batfleck.
Did you see the shirts we got in this week, straight out of Gotham?
I did. Scott showed me those.
Yeah.
He also showed me the one you're wearing right now,
which I think we have maybe one left. The rest of us all
It's a medium.
Yeah.
It's. I was like, oh damn it.
Yeah. Ain't no mediums at the store here.
Right. One of the best shirts ever. It's a Army of Darkness shirt, and it's got Ash on it. And he's spread out like Da Vinci's
Vitruvian
man. And it just says Groovian underneath.
And he's got his his boomstick in his chainsaw hand. Yeah,
crazy.
Which I've been hearing really good things about that show as well.
Me too, but I haven't gotten to watch it because I don't have that station. But I'm going to try to catch up on it. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. I don't. Anyway, so
yeah.
But that's pretty much it. Like, you know. Oh, I guess the only other thing we didn't talk about was Local Comic Shop Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, the day after Black Friday this year was Local Comic Shop Day. Comics Pro paired it up with Small Business Saturday. All our stores but Ohio, because it wasn't open quick enough, got all these really cool Local Comic Shop Day variants. A lot of the stores sold them well. A lot of guys came in for it because it was Small Business Saturday. They're pretty cool. Like, I dig them.
Yeah.
I'm picking up the Bitch Planet hardcover because no one bought it from here, and I love that extra cover. But, you know, some of the stores still have them, so come on in, check it out.
Yeah.
Also, we're also now one of like 50 stores around the country that carry the Phantom variants.
And which are, if you want them, get in here first thing Wednesday morning, because that's what people are looking for.
Yep. And this week coming is the Walt Simonson Dark Knight. And it's awesome. Awesome. There's also a Star Wars Vader Down one coming, but that one's going to be even more limited.
Oh.
So here's the deal. Right now we have them all at cover price. But if you want to continue to get them at cover price, you have to be a new comic subscriber starting in January. Because in January, they all become $9.99 unless you're a comic book subscriber, in which case then you can get them for cover price. Yeah.
And setting up a subscription is super easy, and it's a completely free service. Your books don't even make it to the wall.
Yep, we put them in a box for you. You pick them up. No worries. Boom, there it is.
Yep.
And that's it. It's super awesome, super neat. And
you don't have to worry then. If you can't make it in and you want, you know, you're reading a hot title and there's a good issue coming out and you can't make it in, your car breaks down, your dog gets sick, whatever.
Yep. And if you want, you can subscribe to the Phantom variant so we can just pull it for you as
exactly.
well. Those are some cool stuff. Like the guys that put them out are great. I can't talk about them any more than what I already do. They're great, and like they're very, very limited, and not every store in the country has them.
Yeah.
So you can't, I guarantee you, we are the only our stores are the only stores in the greater Pittsburgh area that carry them.
Yeah.
Period. Like the next nearest store to us, I believe, is in Philadelphia that carries them. So good luck trying to find them if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, hey, go out, have a cheesesteak if you want. But
right?
That's a long drive for a book. And some of these, I mean, they're just so nice that like, couple of them I've seen, I've been tempted to pick up. I mean, I don't necessarily follow that book, but it's just like you could put that on the wall. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the Invincible Iron Man one with Rescue was awesome. I like the Hawk Girl one, or the Hawkeye one with Hawkeye, like with Katie Hawkeye, not Clint Hawkeye, Hawk Guy, if you will. And this Walt Simonson one is. It's phenomenal. When we get done with this, I'll show you the art. It's really cool.
I'm looking forward to the Walt Simonson.
Because like Ryan texted me on Wednesday, and he's like, are we getting those Phantom?
Oh, you know
in?
Ryan.
And
wants the Walt Simonson.
I was like, they're coming next week, dude. He's like, oh, thank God. I'm just like, yeah, dude, don't worry about it. It's cool. But there's something. They're cool, man.
Yeah.
Like people come out of the woodwork for them, and they're a thing. So like if you want them cover price, you got to be a subscriber. And let your local NDC know what books you want, and then start buying it. It's going to be good times. So.
Yep.
All right. That's about it, I think.
Yeah.
I think I'm good.
It's been a long one, but I think went well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job on your
Thank
first
you.
One.
Thank you.
So
Podcast Cherry has been popped by John. And on that note.
Boom. Go Rogues. I mean, what? All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next time. And I hope it won't be as long of a wait for you. So. If not, have a good holiday season, guys. Be safe.
Yes.